In today's first lesson from Deuteronomy, Moses instructs the children of Israel, "In your observance of the commandments of the Lord, which I enjoin upon you, you shall not add to what I command, nor subtract from it." And in the second lesson from the letter of St. James, the apostle urges the disciples of the Lord Jesus, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves." And in the Gospel from St. Mark, the Lord Jesus excoriates the Pharisees, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" In each case, Sacred Scripture warns us today against the danger of false religion. And here we must take note of a problem for modern man. If all religion is merely a private matter of personal taste, then it is impossible for any religion to be either true or false, which is one of the many reasons why neither a Christian nor a Jew may ever consent to the agnostic assertion that all religion is merely a private matter of personal taste. Once we grasp that there is such a thing as false religion, then we need to see that there are two types of false religion. The first kind is the worship of false gods. And the second kind is the worship of the true God in a false way. There are many religions in the world, but only three of them claim to be revealed by God: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Jews and Christians believe that Muslims worship the true God, but in a way invented by man, not revealed by God, thus making Islam a false religion. And that very possibility reminds Catholics of the danger posed to us by the second kind of false religion, replacing divine revelation with human wisdom and then calling it faith. In the teaching of Moses and the Lord Jesus, this very simply constitutes false religion. For the past several years, I have used the 8 principles of evangelical Catholicism, which are available on our website, to help us understand the challenges posed by false religion in our day, and perhaps the most dangerous false religion we face is what I call cultural Catholicism, which begins by belonging to the tribe rather than by believing the word. "Of course I'm a Catholic," the cultural Catholic exclaims. "My grandmother was from Ireland, or Italy, or Poland, or Mexico, or the Philippines, or Colombia, or Lebanon. Fill in the blank to account for your own tribe. But if ethnic identity is the only or primary source of one's religion, then that religion is false." This is so because no one can be born a Christian. One can only be born again a Christian. We come into this world as a child of Adam, a child of wrath. But we come out of the font of baptism as a child of God by the grace of adoption. What we must remember, though, is this: the sacrament of baptism is not magic. Baptism, like all the sacraments of the New Covenant, is a sacrament of faith. Faith in the Word of God. The Word of God eternal, the Word of God incarnate, and the Word of God written. And it is belief in that Word, not the place on the map from which one's ancestors came, that makes one a disciple of the Lord Jesus and a member of his holy church. The false religion of cultural Catholicism is crumbling fast right before our eyes. Today, 1 in 10 Americans is an ex-Catholic. And in a few short years, Americans with no religion will outnumber Americans who practice the Catholic faith. This is what happens when membership in the tribe, rather than faith in the Word of God, is the foundation of one's religion. Once the bonds of tribal loyalty are loosened, religious conviction is among the first things to be cast off in the service of forging a new identity for oneself. To be sure, cultural Catholics often still call themselves Catholic long after they cease to believe the gospel and to follow the Lord Jesus in the way of the cross. And two sure marks of this false religion are recourse to the tired old refrain of, "I'm a Catholic, but," and the invocation of suffering from infamous Catholic guilt as a pathetic excuse for not living according to the teaching of the Lord Jesus. But the temptation to this false form of religion is nothing new, which is why St. James had to address this problem in his day. "Put away all filth and evil excess, and humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls." That word, of course, is planted in us at baptism. James continues, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." But how do we do this? How do we serve others, particularly the weak and the vulnerable, and keep ourselves unstained? The Lord Jesus first explains the path of false religion by quoting the prophet Isaiah, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me." And then he explains the origin of those things that defile us: the unconverted human heart. Jesus says, "From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within, and they defile a man. And the remedy for this life of emptiness and rebellion is the constant conversion of one's heart, which begins at baptism, when the virtues of faith, hope, and love are poured into our hearts to make it possible for us to remain close to the heart of Christ. Consider the way of life proposed to us by the Lord Jesus. We are called to live the grace of our baptism by joining the church every Sunday and holy day to celebrate the Lord's Supper and be nourished unto everlasting life. We are called to pray each day by lifting up our hearts to God in adoration, praise, petition, and contrition. We are called to read, study, and pray with Holy Scripture so that we may know the eternal plan of salvation and see it unfolding both in the history of the world and in the story of our own lives. We are called to honor our parents and never to lie, cheat, lust, steal, or kill, even in our hearts. We are called to honor our own bodies as temple of the Holy Spirit, and never to pollute or defile them with pornography, birth control, drugs, or the abuse of alcohol. We are called to marry only in the church, and to abstain from sexual intimacy outside of marriage. We are called to serve others as we would serve Christ himself, particularly the unborn, the abandoned, the poor, the sick, the imprisoned, the elderly, the immigrant, and the refugee. We are called to confess our sins in the sacrament of penance. And we are called to teach everyone we meet that Jesus Christ is Lord, helping them to find saving faith in the Word of God and to surrender themselves to Christ's dominion through the sacraments of the new covenant and the life of the new creation, which is made possible only by grace through faith in the Son of God. This, my friends, is true religion. This is evangelical Catholicism. And once we have surrendered our minds, our wills, our bodies, our entire selves to the Word of God in the obedience of faith, then we find the perfect freedom, the evangelical freedom of the children of God. The remedy for the false religion of cultural Catholicism is the true religion of evangelical Catholicism. We are Catholics not because we belong to the tribe, but because we believe the Word. And once we understand our need for personal conviction and conversion, then we can do our best to cooperate with God's grace and shape our lives according to the truth we believe, finding that over time, Christ in us changes the very things we desire. Let us then be doers of the Word and not hearers only, lest we delude ourselves and make our religion in vain. At our baptism, the Lord Jesus called each of us by name to follow him in the way of the cross and grafted us on to his holy people Israel. We must heed his call by living as evangelical Catholics who bear witness to the Lord Jesus and his gospel through radical conversion, deep fidelity, joyful discipleship, and courageous evangelism. Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever.